All right, Genesis chapter number 3. Beginning in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Ye may eat, or we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Here we are looking at this familiar passage of Scripture, and I want to talk about the challenge today, a few different things about the challenge. And here we are in the last days of the church age, and it's pretty challenging. And it's probably going to get more challenging every day until the Lord calls us out of here. But the challenge here is in verse number 1, he said, Yea, hath God said. He challenged God's word. And then he asked her, and he quoted, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He challenged God's word. And we see that all over the world. They're challenging God's word. Is there a Bible? Isn't there a Bible? What matters? It's not this. It's not that. It's the other, you know. And we don't really have, we just have ideas. I seen a guy the other day. He said, well, forget the Bible. He goes, I'm saved, so it's the Christ in me that guides me. It's in my heart. Well, the problem is the heart is deceitful. It's wicked. Above all things, deceitful. Who can know it? So the only way you can know your heart, the only way you can keep your heart in check is if we have a Bible. Amen. The Bible convicts your heart. The Word of God's convicting. But he challenges God's Word. And then he challenges her knowledge of God's Word. So I've got a Bible. I believe the Bible. Do you know it? But see, that's what he did. He challenged what she knew about God's Word. And you know, we find out she didn't know exactly what God said. She didn't understand exactly what God said. God didn't say, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, not touching the fruit is probably a good idea. Staying plumb away from that. Staying plumb away from sin is probably a good idea, amen? But he said, don't eat of it. So she didn't know exactly what it said. He challenged God's Word, and he challenged her knowledge of God's Word. And then you know what he said, ye shall not surely die. You know what else he challenged? Her belief in God's Word. Now when God tells you something, it's going to happen. Amen. So he says, yea, hath God said, challenging the Word. She quotes Scripture and changes it. So it's not exact quote. So he challenges her knowledge. And then he says, ye shall not surely die, challenging her belief. Now, we know what God says. You know, they're running around here right now and say, well, there is no hell, or hell's temporary, and all this. And all these different things are coming out with their challenging what God said. And the devil's able to do that because he has challenged God's Word to the point where people don't believe it. And the people that do believe it, he challenges their knowledge of it because they don't read it. And then you got people that believe it and that believe we have a Word, and they read it, and then they don't believe exactly what God said. So she didn't believe exactly what God said. He was able to trick her and deceive her because she didn't know, understand, and believe exactly what God said. I mean, if you've believed the book and you know what it says and you believe it says what it says and means what it says, it's going to be hard for the devil to get you off course. Amen. I mean, we know what it says. It's going to be hard for the devil to get you off course. But here we are today, and the enemy's always trying to get man to question God. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to question God. Yea, hath God said. Well, let me tell you today, yea, God has said. Amen? He has said some things. You look out there today, and it's about, well, creation versus evolution. And we've got the science to back the evolution. And then the Christians, they feel like they're on the ropes a lot of times. They'll say, well, we can just mix them together. Well, that's not true. We don't need to mix them together because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's it. That settles the science right there, amen? And they come up with this and that and the other. We've got this piltdown man. We've got Lucy, and we've got this, that, and the other that proves we come from monkeys and proves the Planet of the Apes is probably better than the Bible or whatever they're going to say, you know, whatever. And I say it's Planet of the Goofballs. You look around here, we got some goofballs. And they say, well, you know, the Bible's just the Bible. We could go with a little bit of the Bible, but that Genesis account, that's not accurate. You know, Catholic Church endorsed that a long time ago to move evolution into the church house. I'm going to tell you what, we're not evolving that way, amen? It's creation versus evolution. Either in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, or He didn't. And if He didn't, you're going to burn in hell, so am I. Well, how do I know that? Because if that's a lie, the rest of the Bible is a lie. Amen. I believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But challenge God's Word, challenge your knowledge of God's Word, challenge your belief in what God says. God says what He means what He says. It's that simple. And if you don't believe it, then I don't know what to tell you. You need to pray about that. But creation versus evolution. We come from Adam's line, a fallen line. God created Adam in His own image. And God made man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He started everything. He started time, space, and matter. They all come together at one time, and here we have that's in the beginning. You know, so what's that mean? Well, God doesn't have a beginning. He was before time, space, and matter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They challenge God's preserved word. Well, do we have God's word or do we not have God's word? Well, we have ideas of God's word. And look, the devil's not stupid. Amen. He's not stupid. You're not going to sit down across the table from the devil and out-spiritualize him or out-think him or out-argue him or out-debate him or be able to stop from being deceiver men. By the grace of God, we can have truth, know truth, and believe the truth. Amen. It's the Bible. The devil is not stupid. For a long time, he's been telling people that are born-again believers, we do not have a Bible. We've got some ideas. They may or may not be wrong, and you're just going to have to trust some man to tell you what it means and what it says. And as soon as he got people to start believing that and throwing their faith in the true Word of God that we have in English right here on this pulpit, as soon as he got people to do that, he was able to slip Catholicism in and say, you know what, it's the church, not the Bible. There are people all over the world saying, we don't go by the Bible because man wrote the Bible. Born-again believers. So yeah, we don't know exactly what God meant because it's been altered and changed and all this stuff. And we know that church tradition should be with the Bible. No. We're not saved by church tradition. We're not led by church tradition. Most people are misled by church tradition, amen? But is there God's Word? You know what the Bible says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. What generation? Whatever generation is reading that verse, he's going to preserve that book for them. Jesus Christ said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. Now, either God left his words for you in English or gives you his words in English so you can understand them, or he lied to you or he expects you to do something that's impossible. How can you keep his words with an S if you don't have his words with an S? Amen. Say, well, I don't believe in Catholicism. Well, I don't either. But a lot of born-again believers have their own pope. You know who it is? It's the guy that studies the quote-unquote original languages. You know why all these people are able to get people to doubt hell and doubt eternal damnation and eternal salvation and all these things? Because you got somebody going back to another manuscript or a manuscript and saying, well, this means this and that means this and this doesn't really mean that. And they're correcting God's word with perverted manuscripts most of the time. And people go, well, that person's shiny brain. They've got all this education and all this knowledge and they're able to debate and all these things. Well, yeah, they're able to hit people in their mind. But you know what the Word of God does? It convicts people's heart. That's why you're not going to convince me that most of the people in the churches today that saying they're Christians are saved. I don't believe that. I believe most people running around the world today are lost and on their way to hell and claiming they're Christians. Why do I believe that? Because they've never been convicted by the Word of God and they have no testimony of salvation, of biblical salvation. They've done all these things. Well, I had a vision. I had a dream. And it's so subtle. I seen a guy on the internet the other day, and I check this stuff out when it pops up to see what they're teaching now, what they're preaching now, and how, because a lot of these are big names that people are listening to. And I'm like, what kind of garbage are they trying to pump into our church? Because we're going to pump it right out, amen. We're going to turn on the hose and clean this place out, get that garbage out of here, amen, with the word of God. So I get on there and I was like, well, you know, what's going on with this stuff? And you got these people on there that are like, well, you know, this, that, and the other, and then so-and-so, he's our guy. He knows the original languages and he all this, that, and the other. And apparently he knows better than the King James translators that were way back there when they were speaking some of these languages that could speak like 17 different languages. Apparently he knows a dead street language of Greek better than they did. So we got this guy, he says this, that, and the other, and he says this word should be that. So maybe there is no hell. And Christians are like, or people that go to church anyway, claim to be Christians, like, well, maybe there isn't. There doesn't have to be a hell for God to save you. What's he saving you from? Well, then you're a Jehovah's Witness, basically. You believe there is no hell, but God's going to maybe, you're just going to turn to nothing, and unless you do enough for God, then maybe he'll keep you and bring you into this kingdom. I'm already into a spiritual kingdom because I'm saved, amen? But they get you, try to get you to doubt God's preserved word, and that's what the devil's doing all over the place. And I had something else I want to speak about that, come on that thing, but these people are all over the place bringing all this stuff in there about, you know, in the originals. Now, I don't have a lot of money, but if you give me, you bring me a copy, not a copy, you bring me an original. An original of every single book in this Bible. You bring me an original. Not a copy, not a copy of a copy, not a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You bring me an original, I'll give you everything I own. Matter of fact, I'll go to work for you for a year and you can have all my money. Bring it to me. I want to see it autographed by Moses, amen? I want to see the original. And you know what they never talk about? The fact that there's a line that goes through Rome and there's a line that goes back to Antioch, Syria, and that pure line that goes back through Antioch, Syria, give us this book right here where the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch, Syria. The rest of them come through the devil's church. Amen, amen, and amen. Say, well, that's pretty harsh. It is harsh, the devil set up a church like that and deceive people. But you know what my job is? To say that's harsh, that he's doing that, but we're not falling into it. We're not Protestants. Under the Baptists, they didn't exist till 16 this or 15 that or whatever. I know the Baptist name didn't, but the Baptist beliefs existed when Paul walked the earth. How do I know? Because I read what Paul believed. He believes what we believe. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. We're not Protestants. If anything, they're Protestants. They protested the truth that Paul was preaching and started making their own religion. So here, you know, challenging God's word, challenging your knowledge of God's word, challenging your belief in God's word. I believe the book. It says what it says. It means what it says. When it says where the fire is never quenched, the worm dieth not, you know what that means? The fire is never quenched, the worm dieth not. When it talks about, you know, talks about hell, and it talks about the lake of fire, and it talks about the beast and the false prophet cast in the lake of fire, and 1,000 years later, the devil is cast into a lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. That means they've been there for 1,000 years. I believe Luke 16. You know what Luke 16 was? Lazarus and the rich man. You know where the rich man was? He was in hell burning. He didn't just quit existing. He was in eternal torments, begging for water, touch tip of his tongue. He's going to be brought out of that judge and cast into a lake of fire for eternity. Death and hell cast into a lake of fire, but it's eternal. So, well, how could that be? The reason people can't understand how that could be is because they don't understand God's holiness and his righteousness and how he must judge sin. We don't look at sin the way God does. Even born-again believers can't see sin the way God does because we're sinners. God, a perfect, holy, and just God, looks at... You ever look at somebody and go, how could they do that? I mean, we could list serial killers and murders and all kinds of stuff and say, how could they do that? When you lie, when you cheat on whatever, when you don't give the 20 back that you find in the register, God looks at you and sees you the same way you see that murder. Matter of fact, it's probably worse to him because he's perfect. God's never sinned once in his entire being, and he's always existed. So, well, how could that be? See, we can't understand it. Man can't understand the things of God. They're spiritually discerned, and saved folks can't wrap their mind out of a perfect, holy, just, righteous God because we're not that way. Now, we've been given Christ's righteousness, but we don't see things the way God sees things. People say, well, how could hell be eternal? Because sin is serious. I don't know how many times I've talked to people, and they say, well, you know, I've never really sinned. I maybe took a cookie or done this when I was a kid, never really done anything wrong. And I'm like, good night, you're a liar too. Amen. You're a liar and a thief and probably an adulterer in your heart. You know, where do we go with this? You've already broken 3 of the 10 and we haven't even talked about them yet. Amen. Well, I just believe if you keep the 10 commandments and do the best you can do, name them. Oh, what are their commandments? Thou shalt not go to church. Thou shalt not read the Bible. They can't name the real ones. But they're going to keep them and hope they get in. You know what the devil's done? He's tricked them into thinking, just relax. God's going to be all right with you. You just do as good enough manner. I mean, it's just like a job application. You're not 100% qualified for the job, but they're going to have to give it to somebody. So God's going to look at you and say, that's 51-49. He barely got in. That's not the way it works. But the devil's got people believing that. Maybe if I keep 6 out of the 10. Hey. Maybe if I keep 9 out of the 10. I could probably keep 9. Well, maybe not 9, maybe 8. Lord, if I keep 4 out of the 10, it's almost sound like Sodom and Gomorrah now, isn't it? If I get down to 3, would you not burn me up? And the Lord's like, you broke them all. But the devil's got people deceived. He's challenged God's word. He's challenging people's knowledge of God's word and their belief in God's word. I don't care who these people are. Look, I'm not saying you can't listen to people, but these people don't know what God said in the originals because they don't have them. You know what I do have? A promise that God preserve His word. And if I'm the bride, part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, He wouldn't tell me to keep His words and not give them to me. Israel wasn't the body of Christ. Israel's not the bride of Christ. He gave them His word. Why would He not give His bride His word in the last days of the church age? Why wouldn't we have it? Amen. I've got it. You may not have it. I've got it right here. You want to see it, I'll show it to you later. It's right here. Amen. I don't doubt anything in this book. I doubt me when I'm in it. Amen. But I don't doubt anything in this book. He's challenging God's word. He's challenging our knowledge of God's word. That's we meet together. We have Sunday school classes. We have Wednesday evening services. Why? Because we're trying to rightly divide. Look, we're not perfect. I'm not the apostle. God didn't ordain me an apostle, and I had a vision after I drank some weird lemonade or something, and all of a sudden I'm an apostle, and I can tell you everything perfectly. But I can tell you this, we're supposed to study that book and rightly divide that book to the best of our ability. And if we lived, good Lord, get us out of here, amen? Even so come, Lord Jesus. But if you lived to be 100 years old, you would never know half of what the devil knows about that book if you studied it every day. Amen. But we're supposed to rightly divide it so the devil can't mess with us in every way he wants to. He's going to mess with us till we get called out of here. If you're saved, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. We're going to get our tail kicked around the block every once in a while, sometimes stomped in the dirt. But you got to know your Bible. You got to know your Bible. I'm not talking about these side issues, is what I call them, about the gap. Theory, fact, whatever you want to call it. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about the virgin birth of Christ. I'm talking about heaven being real, hell being real, kingdom being real. God has given us His Word. Creation versus evolution. God's preserved His Word versus we don't have it. We're just going to have to follow somebody. Amen? We'll just follow somebody. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's Jordan Peterson or Wesley Huff or any of these people that are intellectuals. I don't care who it is. You're going to find out when you watch them long enough that they're turning Catholic. Amen. You know what they're going to do? They're going to tell you we can't believe the book. I don't know one person on there that believes the book except for like maybe Truth is Christ and some other guys on the internet that actually believe the Bible. Most of those folks on there don't even believe it. And we're going to follow them? I wouldn't follow them to Walmart, amen. That's great. You know, we can get out there and we can tickle our brains and say, look, one of our guys is beating up one of their guys. I'm not even sure these people are one of our guys. I'm not saying they're not. But the devil is more subtle than any beast of the field. And if you don't know what God says and believe what God says, he's going to mess you up. You'll be on there like Kirk Cameron going, well, I'm not saying there isn't a hell. I'm just saying that it's probably really temporary. And it just depends on, you know, Your version, you know, of life is going to depend how fast you burn up or whatever. No. I got a book, and that book says people are in there forever. Forever and ever. I don't want to go there. Didn't want to go there. And praise God, I'm not going there. But there are people that are going there. You know what that'll do? First of all, if you're lost and you hear saved people saying, well, hell's temporary, you're just going to burn up. You say, well, I can handle that. I'll just burn up and I'm gone. Don't have to worry about that. But if you think about eternal torments, that'd make you want to get saved, amen? Now, look. If I didn't believe there was a hell, I'd probably just live any old way I wanted. You wouldn't want me as your preacher. Amen. I'd probably get an urge and go, I'm just going to do it. We're probably stacking enemies out there like cordwood right now. But I believe there is a hell. I believe it's real, and I believe God judges His people. I believe God judges His bride, His born-again believers. If I didn't believe that, I'd probably just do whatever I wanted to do. And you probably would too. Oh, you'd probably be all right for a while. But you know what your mind would do and your flesh would do? You would reason past being all right for a while, and you'd say, well, I'm just going to disappear anyway. If I'm not saved, I'm just going to be gone. It'll be the end of me. I'll go back into the cosmos. No, you won't. You'll burn in hell forever if you're not saved. If you are saved, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. So God wants you to believe His Word, and the devil says, well, creation versus evolution, God's Word versus we don't have God's Word. Good night. We'd be in a mess. I'm saved because we have God's Word, by the way. The deity of Christ versus no Trinity. That's exactly what it is. You say, well, how could Jesus Christ be God? Those people don't believe there's a Trinity. And that's why they attack the Trinity. They're not attacking the Trinity per se. They're attacking the deity of Jesus Christ indirectly. Because if they can get rid of the Trinity, they can get rid of Christ being God. And if they get rid of Christ being God, they can be their own God. Amen. Say, well, there's no Trinity in the Bible. God created man in His image. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whichever we're going to say it. Body, soul, and spirit. Let us make man in our image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. Now, He's either lying or there's a Trinity. Right? Now, how could Him and the Father be one? When He says, I or the Father are one, He didn't mean I'm the Father and the Father's me. He meant there's one God and I'm one part of that God. People say it makes three gods. No, it doesn't. Does that make you three people? I mean, sometimes I am. Two people. I don't know. My wife says I'm Jekyll and Hyde sometimes. Like, she don't know. Y'all ladies know how your husbands are to be. But does that mean we're three? If you're body, soul, and spirit, you're not three people. Matter of fact, if you're lost, you're two-thirds of a person. Because you're dead spiritually. Amen. Body's going back to the dirt, soul's going to hell. Forever. Forever. But if you're saved, you're saved. And you know, the devil says, well, saved by grace versus works-based salvation. That's everywhere now. Oh, you people think you just get saved and you don't have to do anything. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I know we're all goofy, but I don't get it when somebody looks at me and says, hey, I know we're saved by grace through faith, but you got to work. And I'm like, no. Without the works of the law, without the deeds of man, is justified without the deeds of the law. For by grace you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah, I understand, but you got to work too. No, you don't understand. We're just talking about not the law, not works. Over and over and over again. You know why? Because they've been challenged on God's Word. They don't have a knowledge of God's Word. And if they do, they don't believe it. They'd rather believe something else. If you've got 1,000 people telling you you're lost on your way to hell because you've never kept the 10 commandments, I'm believing the book over them. 1,000 people tell you. If 10 million people call you up, text you, and tell you, hey, look, you have got to keep all the commandments and love your neighbor as yourself, or you're going to hell, even if you trust in Christ. I'm believing the book. Now, I'm not saying all those other things aren't good things, but I'm not doing them to get to heaven. I'm doing them because I love Him. And if we're honest, we're not doing all of them all the time. Amen, amen, and amen. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him in his sin. How about that one? Oops. That's not even one of the 10, but nobody knows what that is. That doesn't even say if you're doing something bad intentionally, it's wrong. If you're not doing something good, it's wrong. Well, that's some judgment. You know why God can do that? Why He puts that judgment out like that? Because He's perfect and holy and righteous. He is the standard of all things that are true and right. He's the standard, not your neighbor. That's why the Bible says that, you know, comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. They're not wise. Because you're not getting to heaven because you're better than me or I'm better than you. You're not getting to heaven. You're getting to heaven because Jesus Christ is better than everybody, and He gave you His righteousness if you're saved. Amen. So it's either the deity of Christ or there's no Trinity. There's a battle going on there. And Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. That's one part of a three-part God. Amen, amen, and amen. Saved by grace through works, or works. We know, for by grace you say through faith. We talked about that. The gift of God, not of works. It's pretty simple. I believe the book. Rapture or no rapture? I mean, y'all, you read it. You read it in 1 Corinthians 15. You read it in Thessalonians. And then your neighbor says, there's no rapture. It's not in the Bible. And you're like, I just read it. Well, there's no rapture in the Bible. They don't mind rewriting the Bible, but they won't want you putting the word rapture in there where it's not there. Amen? Oh, that doesn't mean that. This doesn't mean that. We'll change that to mean this. But if you say rapture, you're going to burn in hell because there's no rapture in the Bible. Well, what do you call it? It's the catching away. We're going to meet him in the air. We're going to meet them in the air. Amen? I don't care what you call it. You can call it God's magic elevator. We're going. Amen. I'm not saying that's what it says in the original or anything. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the idea of the rapture is biblical. The idea of no rapture is not biblical. Now, if we go back to the grave before the rapture is still biblical. It's still going to happen. Amen. The rapture versus no rapture. You know, the devil just wants to challenge God's word. Yea, hath God said. Yea, God hath said. Amen. He said he's coming back to get his bride. Going to call us out of here. Challenge your knowledge of God's word. We're trying to understand and know a lot more about God's word. I hope you know more about God's word today than you did 3 years ago. I hope you know more about God's word today than you did 3 months ago. I hope you believe God's word more than you did three days ago. Amen? Because the devil wants to talk you out of it. I'm telling you, this is a weird thing that's going on in this world, a weird spiritual battle. If you look what's going on, you can tell the devil's not stupid. He has taken Catholicism, the internet, Turning Point USA, this battle between Jews and quote-unquote fake Christianity, and he's turning all this into the one world religion. He has. So, well, that stuff started out, some of that stuff was, well, Catholic. Catholicism never started out good. It started out with pagan stuff mixed into Christianity. That's why that started. But the other stuff had some good people that started it, but the devil hijacked it. Look what he's doing with it. Rock concerts, fireworks, hookers. You call them what you want. That's what it is. And they're all getting ready together doing this number, saying we're all praising God. Getting all these people out lost on our way to hell. They ain't got no plan. They probably don't even know the plan of salvation. They ain't got no testimony of salvation. But boy, they're a big name, and now they're on our side. It's not our side, it's God's side. Are they on God's side? They might be on their side, but are they on God's side? Amen? Say, well, Jim Caviezel, and whatever their name is, that just makes my... Him and all Mel Gibson, all these Catholics, all these lost folks, and it's ecumenicizing everything, bringing everything into the false religion the Antichrist is going to run. How's he going to do it? He's doing it. He's been doing it since Paul was walking the earth. He's patient like the Muslims. They don't care if they get to take this country over by chopping your head off or by outbreeding you and then taking it off 100 years down the road, taking over 100 years down the road. You know what the devil? He don't care. He just wants to hijack it. He'll take his time. Doesn't seem like he's taking his time now, though. Rapture versus Noah. For whosoever versus only the elect. Versus everybody will eventually be saved. You ever heard that? Those are the three things. That Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible is the Bible. I believe the book. People say, no, that's just for the elect. Only some people that have the irresistible grace pull them into salvation. The rest of people, God just sends into hell because he picks and chooses. That's baloney. And then you have people, well, Jesus died for everyone, so everyone's eventually going to be saved. No, we have a part in this. And that's turning our free will to him and repenting and saying, Lord, I'm dirt. You're everything. Forgive me and save me. Amen. Oh, here's a big one. The literal thousand-year kingdom versus no kingdom. Or a spiritual kingdom. Or a kingdom we might bring in later. All this stuff. The biggest problem with rightly dividing people under... Why they get messed up. If you don't believe there's going to be a literal thousand-year kingdom where Jesus Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years on the throne of David, which there are verse after verse after verse after verse after verse that talks about that. You have to take all that stuff and try to plug it into the church age somehow. Say, how can people believe all the goofy stuff they believe? Because they don't believe the Bible. And they don't believe God means what He says and says what He means. If you believe He means what He says and says what He means, you believe Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on the throne of David, then you can start to go, wait a minute, this doesn't fit here, it fits there. If you get rid of that 1,000-year reign, what do you do with all that stuff? What do you do with your eye offend you, cut it, or pluck it out? Your hand offend you, cut it off. What do you do with that stuff? Forgive, so God forgive you. People say, well, if you don't forgive, you're going to hell. No, no, no. Those are good principles. Those are kingdom. That's a constitution of the kingdom we're talking about. The blessed are they that mourn. They shall, all that stuff is the kingdom. That's good stuff. You can practically apply it to us, but that's all kingdom stuff. You can't plug all that into the church age and not be totally confused. So if you don't believe there's a 1,000-year kingdom, you know why the devil hates the Jews so much? Because they're still here. And you know what that is? That's proof that there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom. There is nobody, no people that ever existed that have been around that long. No people that ever existed with that much opposition that could exist. They are proof that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and the devil hates that because he wants to rule and reign forever. So what literal kingdom versus no kingdom. Or this is the kingdom. This is it. I had a guy tell me that, a guy that preached, amen, Jesus kind of ruling right now, and the devil's kind of bound right now. I said, what I want to say is not kind, but you're kind of goofy, amen? Said he believed the King James Bible. I do too. It says Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years in the city of Jerusalem. You know what that means? Just what he said. 1,000 years on the throne of David, city of Jerusalem. Then we get the authority of the Scripture versus the authority of some church or denomination. And I'm here to tell you, the Baptists are just bad about that. The Bible-believing Baptists are just bad about that. Because there are stuff the Baptists believe I couldn't find in the Bible if I looked for 1,000 years. But I'm supposed to believe it because the Baptists believe it. Not a lot, but there are a few things, I just don't see it. It's the authority of the Scripture, it's not. How cruel would it be of God to say, I want you to do what I want you to do, and I want you to act the way you want. I want you to act. I want you to be the person I want you to be. I want you to become more like my son, and I'm going to give you some man to guide you and no book. That'd be cruel, wouldn't it? How can we stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be guilty if he never gave us a rule book? Then we'd be able to say, well, it was John MacArthur or this guy or that guy or the other guy or Joel Osteen, they fooled me. And God would be able to have to say, yeah, well, I guess I didn't give you books, so I guess it's my fault. Isn't that what he'd have to say? But he didn't give you a tradition of man. He gave you a book. He said, well, you worship the book. Praise God, I don't care. You call me whatever. You call me a Bible adulterer or whatever. I worship the words that God gave me. I know that's strong and that's idolatry. I don't care. They're God's words. Maybe God will have to straighten me out on that. That's long down the list, probably, of things at the judgment seat of Christ, but I believe the book. I can tell you whether you believe the book or not. You ever been in a spot, I mean a spot, where there ain't nobody getting you out of it but the Lord, and got down on your knees with a Bible and begged God to give you something? You ever been there? Because if you've never been there, you probably don't believe the book. Amen. When things get real and things get bad and things get real bad, I'm not calling Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn or any Baptist preacher or any priest. Get a hold of the Lord. I know the Lord can use people to bless you, but when you're down today and nothing is going to help you except God, and you believe this book, you'll be on your knees with this book. Amen. The authority of the Scripture. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 6:63 says, "The spirit that quickens, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You know what he didn't say? Search the Pope. Search the Baptist pulpit. Search the charismatic movement. He said, search the scripture. You know why? Because they testify of him. You know what I found out a long time ago? Most preachers don't testify of him. Amen. Because they don't believe a book. There are some good preachers out there. I'm not saying they're not. But as a whole, if you pick everybody that's supposedly a preacher, man, woman, child, whatever's out there, they're saying they're pastoring, they're not preaching Jesus Christ. They've got another book, they've got another spirit, they've got another Jesus. Matter of fact, their Jesus didn't die to wash, take away their sin. Their Jesus died to help them get to heaven. He died to be their running mate, so they can be the president, he can be the vice president. That's basically what it boils down to. And they just need a little help from Jesus so they can get in. They're really good, though. They're good enough, they just need a little help. Hey, I was good enough, I needed not any of me and all of him, amen? You know why? Because I have a Bible. I believe what God said. I know what God said. I believe it. You know what he said? All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. I believe that. So it wasn't hard to believe. It wasn't hard for me to believe. I know me. And if you're truthful about yourself, you wouldn't have any trouble believing that either. Amen. You know, the monks and the different Hindu, all these different people that spend their whole life trying to seek perfect peace and trying to get to a level of perfect prayer and all this stuff that they do. And I heard a story a preacher told one time about some monk or something that spent 25 years up on a 40-foot pole or something just trying to stay away from people. And women couldn't get within 10 foot of the bottom of the pole. Just weird stuff like that. He was trying to just connect with peace or whatever. I don't like heights. I couldn't do that. But connect. They're trying to connect with peace. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace. Without Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Not only is he the only one that can give you peace, he's the one that gives you joy. And you can keep it. Some of it, at least, amen. Isn't it good to know we're getting out of here one day? I'm glad I know where I'm going. Like I said, I could dead fish drop over right now, flop around. When I leave this place, I know where I'm going. I'm not going to purgatory. I'm not going to a temporary holding spot where I burn up after a couple years or whatever. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Absent of the body, present with the Lord. Well, Paul never says people go to heaven. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, if you believe there's a heaven, and the Lord's in heaven, and you leave your body, and you're present with the Lord, that means you're in heaven. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but through deductive reasoning, I figured out that God's talking about heaven through Paul. Amen. Well, yeah, but what about it? That's the craziest tribe in Christianity, the whatabouts. Amen. Right up there with the Yalbuts. You remember the Yalbuts, right? God says, "For by grace you stay through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Yeah, but they heard about two of those words because they were always focused on the Yalbuts. Amen. I just believe God. He had challenged, the devil come along and he challenged God's word. Yea, hath God said. He challenged her knowledge of God's word, she failed. He challenged her belief directly, and she failed. You shall not surely die, you'll be like God. You know what she said? That's a tree to be desired to make one wise. She didn't say, "That's a tree that's going to kill me." She said, "I'm going to be just like God." That was a partial truth. Because at that point, she knew good and evil. But she died spiritually. And had a date with destiny, with death in the flesh later. And so did Adam. The challenge. Challenge God's word. Challenge your knowledge of God's word. Challenge your belief in God's word. I'm here to tell you, my job as a preacher is to get you to tell you, I believe it. And I want you to believe it. I don't want you to doubt it. I'm not going to sit up here and give you 5,000 reasons to doubt this book. You're going to get them somewhere else. You're not getting them here. Your job is to find out what's in it and pray about it. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Most people don't believe it because they've never read it. How many stories y'all heard about scientists and mathematicians and different people that said, I'm tired of this Bible stuff, I'm going to prove it wrong, and they read through it and they get saved. It's like, good night, that can't be. That has to be God's Word. Ain't no man smart enough to do that. You know what I say? Amen. Ain't no man smart enough to do that. See, where the battleground is between Bible believers and non-believers is the Bible believers, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll think we're always right and we're some kind of standard. Why not just be honest? It wore me out when I went to Bible-believing churches that thought that the preacher thought he walked on water. That wore me out because I thought, man, I could never attain that status. And God said, yeah, guess what, Balaam's donkey? I'll get you preaching in one of these churches. And I'm like, oh. That wore me out. I believe the book. None righteous. There's no perfect preacher. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect church, local church. And there's no perfect church member. But we're right in Christ if you're saved. I'm just telling you that the battle is ramping up. And the exciting part is, I have a book. I know a lot about what it says, and I believe what it says. I believe what it says. When we did the Revelation study, you can go back, it's online. There was like 18 months. That was a long time, it was a long study. We did the Revelation study. You know what it did for me? Every single week, I believed the book more and more and more. And I believed it to start with. But you know what I needed? Help my unbelief. We went through that study, and I thought, man, this is everything that's plugging in that makes more sense than it ever made sense. You know what President Nebuchadnezzar is doing right now? I'm kind of joking, but he is. He's like, look at me, everything's going to be used. Peace in the Middle East. I'm like, praise the Lord. That means Jesus is coming back quick. Amen. And it's not really peace because until he comes back and rules and reigns, there won't be real peace. But there's that semblance of peace. And like I said, I would vote for the guy again if he ran. And he might. He could run 3 or 4 terms. I don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, I have done this. I have built this. Look what I have done. You want to look at the Bible and see all the men fall that said that? The most glaring example is Nebuchadnezzar. I hope the guy gets saved. Don't believe he is. Never heard a salvation testimony that was real. I hope he gets saved. I hope he gets right with the Lord. I hope he leads by the Bible one day and does everything just the way the Lord wants it to. Right now, it's just me, me, me. Look at what I'm doing. That's real. I'm not against a lot of what he's doing. But you know what God's judging? He's judging why he's doing it. You see, when Nebuchadnezzar was, God was using him to be a blessing to his people, and God was building his kingdom up, because of his people, Nebuchadnezzar was taking all the credit. Not, well, I suppose God did. You know, God blessed it. You know what Nebuchadnezzar should have been doing? He should have been saying, the Lord God did all this, and he let me be a part of it. I hope he lets us build that new church building, or rapture us out, either one. Rapture would be better. But if he's going to leave us here for a year or two, I hope he lets us build that new church building. And when it's done, we can get in there and praise God and say, look, the Lord did this. Not Father David. Amen. Or not the church members. Amen. Or not the ladies that work so hard to clean the house and stuff. Not that. But the Lord did it. I mean, think about it. If you have the ability to paint, you have the ability to haul carpet, you have the ability to clean things, that's God-given. Amen. Most people crash and burn because they never give God credit for anything. Anything. You know what that's really connected to? I'm really good enough on my own. I might need a little Jesus, but I'll probably get in. Probably get in. I know I'm getting in because I'm already in. I'm in Christ. If you get in your Bible, you'll find out if you're saved, you're in Christ too. It's not just He's in you, but you're in Him. One flesh. Become a spiritual joining. And you know what? That picture of that wedding in Ephesians chapter 5 where it talks about Christ and the church. You know what the Lord says? He says that what God brings together, let no man put asunder. You know when God brought you into Christ, ain't no man taking you out? Not even you. That's what Jesus Christ said. You're in my Father's hand and no man can pluck you out. He said, you're in my hand, and He said, you're in the Father's hand, no man can pluck you out. The Father's greater than I. Oh, you once saved, always saved. No, I believe the book. Amen. I tell him, you know, once saved, always saved, in the Bible. Quit saying that to him. Amen. But I'm eternally saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then you get over to 1 John 5:13. These things were written to you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You know you have eternal life. Not just new life, you have eternal life. You're not getting it later. You have it now if you're saved. You have it. Amen. But God wants to challenge you to do more, to be more like Christ. The devil wants to challenge God's Word, wants to challenge your knowledge of God's Word and your belief in God's Word. I believe the book. I believe the book. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us in these last crazy church age days, Lord, to anchor firmly to truth and end without compromise. Come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name.